Morning, if you will, and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. When I was with you last, we spoke about Peter, if you remember. Y'all remember?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I know it's been a while, but God told Peter, he says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Amen. Peter messed up terribly, didn't he? I mean, he cussed God, and he denied Jesus 3 times. He quit the ministry. Jesus died upon the cross, and when he died upon the cross, Peter ran, if you will, said he ran away, weep bitterly. When Jesus arose from the grave, he went looking for Peter, didn't he? He found him fishing. And when he found Peter, he turned the church that Jesus had started over to Peter. Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. A pastor's job or a preacher's job is to feed the sheep.
Amen.
Pastor Schaefer often asked me to, actually since I was here last, he's asked me to come 3 or 4 times to preach to you or minister to you, but due to circumstances I've not been able to, or his schedule got bent or twisted and I wasn't able to. In fact, last time he asked me to come and preach for you when he found out that he had the COVID. And then I said yes, and then that night I started running a fever, not feeling well, say, well, maybe I have COVID and maybe I shouldn't go, so I called and said I couldn't. But the reason Peter, the way he fulfilled his ministry and the way he strengthened his brethren was through the book of 1 and 2 Peter. I asked Pastor Schaefer, I said, I introduced Peter the last time I was here, do you mind when you call me and ask me to come in the future if I just preach verse by verse through Peter? He said, well, I think, and we're speaking through text, we've never spoken. He said, I think that's a grand ideal. So if I come back again, we will be in the book of 1 Peter and we'll go verse by verse, and that way you'll know where I am. Before I read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and this morning I'm here to teach and to preach God's word to you verse by verse, amen. I'm missing my dad pretty bad. My dad's been in heaven for 4 years. I miss his simple teachings, his simple theology. He didn't make things where you couldn't understand it. He had a way to teach and show you to where even the smallest mind, and I'm pointing at myself, could understand things. Amen. My dad only had an 8th grade education, but he was a very wise man. Shortly after I got saved, my dad took a flashlight. He said, son, this is a flashlight, and I'm going to do what my dad did to me. Folks, this is a flashlight. Some of you might say, duh, but it is a flashlight. If I push the button, it's not going to come on because there are no batteries in it. You, before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, were nothing more than a human being walking about this earth. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. But there's something called the battery, which represents the Holy Spirit of God. If I open this flashlight up, the day that I got down on my knees and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Holy Spirit came in and sealed me until the day of redemption. Amen?
Amen.
Now I am a fully operational flashlight. Am I right? Come on, help me.
Amen.
The day that I got saved, I'm no longer a child of the world, but I become a fully operational Christian. Am I right?
Amen.
But watch this simple truth that my dad told me. Now, this is my dad doing this to me as about a 16, 17-year-old boy. He said, I can't see anything. And I said, Dad, you didn't turn your flashlight on. He said, exactly. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell in. But you're not going to be an active Christian until you turn the flashlight on. Are you with me? There's Christians in this room today who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're no longer a child of the world, but they're a child of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells within them. But the question today before I read the Scripture, and you'll see here in a moment, Christian, have you turned your flashlight on? Because you have a choice to turn it on and turn it off. Am I right? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't want to do what God wants me to do, so I turn it off. And when I turn it off, am I in God's will? No, I'm not. God wants me to have my flashlight on. Now stay with me because we're not in the Word of God yet. We're going to get there, okay? Now even with my flashlight on, if I leave this flashlight on, over time it's going to get dull, isn't it? The reason it's going to get dull is because the battery's going to get weak. And the battery's going to need to be recharged or replaced. Now, praise God, I can't lose my salvation, and neither can you. Amen. But there are times that I get weak. And when I get weak, I've got to recharge so that I can shine for Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? Now, that's just simple teaching from a country boy that grew up on a farm in Kentucky and only had an eighth grade education. But there's a lot of wisdom within that statement. Amen. We'll get back to that here in a moment. Take your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm just going to introduce the book of Peter to you this morning and read these two verses and preach from them. Can I do that this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. Look at verse number 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Now, God, I ask your hand upon me as I try to teach and preach the word of God, to where if there's one here that's without Christ, that they'll come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then, God, also those of us who are saved, that will walk out of here today a brighter Christian for you. And, Lord, let us shine for you this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Remember, God looked at Peter right in his eyes. He said, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter messed up greatly. He really, truly did. But now God has given him that first church that Jesus Christ started. And now Peter is serving God. And he wrote the book of 1 and 2 Peter to encourage believers. Do you ever need encouragement?
Amen.
I need it daily. I need it daily because America is very quickly becoming a strange land. I mean, there's riots, there's murders, there's beatings, killer bees, coin shortages, racism to galore, and you can't find racism in God.
Amen.
There's anti-God, COVID-19, isolation, divisions. We can go on and on and on. I don't know about you, but that discourages me, those things that are happening in the world today. We're living in a strange land. Am I right? Look at verse number 1 there. And I like breaking down the words and teaching from them. A lot of times we read them and we say, let's just move on. But we need to look at words here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Then it says, to the strangers. Underline the word strangers there within that verse. If you take your Greek concordance or the Strong's concordance and you look it up, that word stranger there has two meanings. The first meaning is those who place themselves against God, the lost world. Now, people who place themselves against God, they are pretty strange to a Christian. They're not strange to the lost world, but to a Christian, you look and say, whoa, I can't believe that person's doing that. Then the second meaning of that word strange right there is those who stand for God. And to a lost world, there is nothing more strange in the universe than a Christian that does not participate in the things of the world. Am I right? Okay, so you see the word stranger there has two meanings. But we do live in a strange land, and as a child of God, I'm supposed to let my light shine in a strange land. Am I right? Amen. I'm supposed to be bright. Peter is probably one of the most popular disciples who follow Jesus Christ. He spent 3 years in school underneath the tutelage of Jesus Christ. In fact, every single time you see Peter's name written in Scripture, he's always in the forefront. In fact, Peter is so popular within the Bible, he's known within every congregation in the known world at that time. And now he's mentioned along with the believers who have been scattered abroad. The great theme of 1 Peter is this, is to help Christians have a peace during times of trials and struggling. In fact, my friends, the Christians were being persecuted pretty heavily right here within this time frame. Therefore, they ran so that they could have their lives saved. I pray that that never happens in America. I like having the freedom of being able to come to church this morning. I like having the freedom within the world today to where people have freedom of religion. Come on, stay with me. I believe I'm a Baptist, and I believe Baptists have the right doctrine, and I believe Baptists have the truth, and that's why I'm here this morning. But yet a Catholic has a right to go to the Catholic Church in America. That's the way our Constitution is built. Am I right? Amen. And I'm glad that we have a freedom of religion within this country, and I pray that the day never comes that we have to run and hide and take our ministries underground to study God's Word. Amen. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was the first attack upon Christianity by the government. In fact, during that time, Nero had come into the leadership roles. And if you ever study Nero, he was one wicked individual. Very, very wicked individual. And I'll not go into the areas how ugly he was with the things that he practiced because we have little ones here today. I'll just leave it at that. But God gave Peter a different ministry. God knew that Peter was going to mess up, and he said, Peter, when thou art converted, go strengthen your brethren. Amen? Amen. He said, Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, I do, Lord. Feed my sheep. God says, Peter, I want you to feed the sheep of God's people, and they're going to be hurting on the inside, and I want you to help them and to encourage them. Look at verse number 1 again. This stuff is just so amazing to me when I read it. Watch it now. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. And it says, scattered. Now, you know the strangers can mean two things, but here it's talking about believers. Strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. If we go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and you read verses 8 through 41, the day of Pentecost, there are three nations mentioned here that were there on the day of Pentecost: Cappadocia, Asia, and Pontus. And Peter is addressing those who have been scattered abroad. Now, these believers were scattered for these reasons. They got saved on the day of Pentecost. They were baptized. The Bible says there's about 5,000 of them got baptized. Am I right? Acts 2:41. Come on. They got baptized. They were there underneath that ministry. They learned under Peter. Then persecution came and they ran about. And they ran about. The Bible says they were scattered abroad, and yet persecution followed them. And why did it follow them? It followed them because not only were they saved, but they went back to their homeland and held up the Word of God and started preaching. They started starting other churches. They were letting their light shine for Jesus Christ in the areas where they were at. Amen. Now, I'm going to look at this today, and I believe Christians need encouragement, but my friends, I also believe we need to let our light shine for our Lord and Savior. Amen. Look at verse number 1 again, and we're going to I'm going to take my time this morning. We're going to learn for the introduction. Amen. There's so much doctrine within these first two verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice it says, first of all, Peter the apostle. Peter an apostle. When I think about Peter, first of all, when I think about him before he got saved, he was a very interesting character. Here it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was a fisherman before he got saved. Have you ever been around an unsaved fisherman? Some of us laughed. I've been around unsaved fishermen. I've been around unsaved sailors. I've been around unsaved Marines, Army, Air Force. I've been around the unsaved world. And I'm telling you, when you're around the unsaved and they're fishing and they get a hook in their finger, they don't always say the best things. When they reach over for the water cooler, there's not always a Coca-Cola in there that they're reaching for. Amen? Come on, help me this morning. Peter was as lost as he could be. He was an interesting character, and I'm here to tell you, John chapter 1 and verse number 41 says this, Andrew findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Here's Andrew. He has been saved. He's seeing Peter, that interesting character, guy up on the boat fishing, doing everything under the sun. In fact, when Jesus found him after Peter left him, Peter didn't have any clothes on. He was up in the boat fishing. He had quit the ministry altogether, so he went back to his interesting character, back to the old ways. But Andrew shined his light. Andrew went to Peter and said, "Hey, Peter, I found God. Peter, I want to introduce you to Jesus. You know, I never had anything within my soul, no interest at all about God until God came to dwell within me."
Amen.
Like Peter, I was an interesting character. There were words that came out of my mouth that should not have came. There were substances that went into my body that should not have went in. There was things that I did in places that I went that I shouldn't have done and shouldn't have went. But you know, when God came to dwell in, that changed.
Amen.
I didn't want to do it anymore.
Did
I still have habits I had to break? Oh, yeah. In fact, I had an old master sergeant once. My language was so bad before I got saved. I had a master sergeant. I was working on an aircraft, and a master sergeant looked at me, and here I'm a 2 or 3 striper, an E3, E4, and he looked at me and says, "Airman, are you stupid?" And I was a fighter, and I grabbed the wrench, and I looked at him. I said, "What are you talking about? I was going to crack that man in the head with a wrench." He said, "Are you stupid?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I'm standing here listening to you talk, and you can't even complete a complete sentence without saying a cuss word. Are you dumb? Your vocabulary, is it so bad that you can't do it without cussing?" You know, but when I got saved, the words left. There's a difference when you get saved because the light shines. Are you with me this morning, folks? Amen. Peter was a very interesting character, but he became an unlikely servant. One of the things that I love about this story right here, when I say Peter, an apostle, one who got saved, one who was an unlikely, strange character, becoming an unlikely servant, one who walked the world, who had their sins washed away, now has changed in living for Jesus. Folks, God's word changes lives.
Amen.
Those who looked at Peter before salvation would have said, "He's hard. You better not offer him Jesus because he might take your head off. He is the most unlikely, most worldly, violent, crazy man that ever was. All his interest is to go fishing, catch fish, make money, drink, do the things of the world, and go back and do the things of the world again." I've been there. That was me. But Andrew said, "Hey, Peter, I met Jesus." And because he said he met Jesus, Peter came to Jesus. God's word changes lives. And I'm so thankful that Paul Chappell drove from Lancaster, California to Edwards Air Force Base, which is about 45, 50 miles. I don't know how many times it knocked upon my door. You can ask my wife. She is sitting there. My wife got saved as a little girl. And Paul Chappell would knock on my door. And Trish say, she's in the kitchen cleaning dishes. And I'm looking out the peephole. And let me tell you, when you're looking out that peephole, the person on the other side of the door can hear you breathe. Because now that I'm saved, I've knocked on doors and I know what's going on the other side of the door. Okay, so here I am. I'm looking out the peephole and I see Paul Chappell. Trish is in the kitchen banging dishes around. She's saying, "Who is it?" And I said, "Shh, it's the preacher, it's the preacher." And what's he doing? He's knocking on the door. And the more I'm going, "Shh, is the noisier she's getting, and the more he's knocking upon the door. But I'm so glad he knocked on the door like Andrew to tell me about Jesus. Look at verse number 1 again. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter found the great Redeemer. You see the name Jesus there? Underline it in your Bible. We need to know these words. Jesus, his name means Savior. It teaches you and I that we have a Redeemer. I can't get to heaven upon my own, but I can get to him through Jesus Christ. Amen. See the word Christ? That's the official name of God. One who fulfills all prophecies. I can't fulfill all prophecies, but Jesus the great Redeemer can, because he is the anointed one. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to be saved this morning, there's only one way to do it, and that's through the love and the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. But Peter identifies himself here as a special way. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Do you know when we get to heaven, according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 14, on each of the gates are the names of the apostles? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But Peter also had a great deceiver. Judas Iscariot had deceived Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1, and God chose the apostle Paul to be an apostle. Now, I'm spending a lot of time on that word apostle right there because it's very, very important. Stay with me, because there's much doctrine within that word, the apostle. There's a huge difference between the apostle mentioned in the Bible than a group of people who are running around calling themselves apostles today.
Yeah, amen.
Let me say that again. There's a huge difference between the apostle that's mentioned in the Bible, verse number 1, and those running around calling themselves apostles today. You see, you have to, in order to be an apostle, as mentioned in the Bible here in verse number 1, you have to meet the qualifications to do that. And nobody in the world today meets those qualifications. And you say, "Brother Price, what are those qualifications?" I'm so glad you asked. And since we're going verse by verse studying through the book of 1 Peter here, let's find out what it means to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Can we do that?
Amen.
Amen. Because we need to learn what correct doctrine is compared to false doctrine, so that Satan doesn't trick us in following something that is not true. Amen. Look at Acts chapter, hold your hands here and go to Acts chapter number 1. Are we there? Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 21. Verse number 21 and verse number 22 give you the qualifications of being an apostle of Jesus Christ. It says, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must be one ordained to the witness with us of his resurrection." What they're doing in these verses is they're getting ready to pick the next apostle. And within those two verses, they give the qualifications. Many today claim to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, the apostle does mean messenger. Okay, Al Price is supposed to be a messenger of Jesus Christ, amen? But I can't write God's Word.
That's right.
I can't change God's Word.
Amen.
I can't do the miracles that these guys did because I don't meet the qualifications. Are y'all with me this morning?
Yes,
amen. Am I going too hard or too different? Okay, so I don't want to do that. Let's go through this, through these qualifications, amen? First of all, they must have physically walked with Jesus Christ. Okay, it says, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us." Has anybody living today ever personally, physically walked with Jesus Christ?
No.
So if they can't personally, physically walk with Jesus Christ, they cannot claim, as some of these churches do, that they are apostles of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? They also would have had to witness his resurrection, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us. Must one be ordained to be a witness of with his resurrection? Has anybody here lived in the day that Jesus was there and witnessed him coming out of that grave and witnessed for him arising from it? No. So therefore, we cannot be qualified to do that, can we? Also, the Lord himself chose the apostles.
Amen.
He handpicked them and selected them. to include the Apostle Paul on the way of Damascus. Come on.
Amen.
You know what I like about him picking Paul? It shows grace.
Amen.
Paul persecuted the church, murderings and slanderings. He went into homes and ripped families apart. But on the way to Damascus, that boy got saved.
Amen.
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What did he say? Yes, Lord. Oh, mercy, I remember. Amen. I remember. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to tell you. My wife tried for years to get me to go to church, and I told her, you want to go to church, you go. I'm not going. I was made to go to church my entire life. I said, I don't believe there's a God. I don't want anything to do with God. You take God, you run with Him. I'm on the alert pad on a military base, and they're in the middle of a blizzard, okay? The klaxon horn goes off, and just before the klaxon horn goes off, God's dealing with my heart. And as He's dealing with my heart, I remember shaking my fist at the ceiling and saying, God, I do not believe in You, and if You're real, I want You to know I hate You, and I never want anything to do with You. Ever do I want anything to do with You, God. Get off of my back. Immediately the horn blew. When the horn blew, we had to respond to the aircraft. It was a blizzard. We're in quick start. That means a big can of gunpowder within each starter. The pilot hits the switch, and that gunpowder ignites, and it goes through a little hole, and it turns the fans, the engines, and they start. The gunpowder dissipates all the oxygen in the air, so those who are on the ground, me, has to have an oxygen mask on. The oxygen mask fogged over, and I couldn't see where I was going. If the klaxon was real and we were under attack, I'm supposed to get up in the airplane and fly off with the air crew. If it's not, then the door shuts, and I'm supposed to leave off and go to the left of the aircraft. It's snowing so hard in a blizzard, and the aircraft engines are kicking it up, and I've just cussed God and told Him I hated Him and I didn't want anything to do with Him, and I can't see out of my mask, and I'm holding the oxygen mask with my hand, and I turn to the left and I don't know where to go. I don't want to run to the right, because if I do, I'll be sucked up into the engines, and if I run to the left, I'll get ran over. So I ran to where I thought I was safe, and I hit a snowbank, and when I hit a snowbank, I flipped. When I flipped, my elbow hit. My elbow went over my head, and my elbow, this arm, was back here. It ripped my arm off. Now, I didn't hear words from God, but this thought came to my head as I saw stars, and I'm laying underneath the J-57 engine running full blast, and not hearing it, but I heard this. Boy, do you believe there's a God now? God has a way of letting you go as far as you think you want to go, and then He's going to yank.
Oh, yeah.
And when He yanks, sweetheart, it don't feel too good. I had to have my arm totally removed from my bod and put back on. It's held on with staples and wires right now because I cussed God and said I don't believe in Him. But the story still remains. God is full of love, and He's full of grace.
Amen. Praise God.
And He never gave up on Al Price. He kept sending the Holy Spirit to pound upon my heart until I fell down upon my knees as Peter did and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save my soul.
Amen.
Within this room this morning, there might be one in here this morning that says, hey, I've never believed in God either. And I don't really want anything to do with Him. But listen to this old hillbilly, if you will. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and you're going to go to one of those two places. And by you being in this room this morning, that is the hand of God leading you here, His love and His grace, so that you can hear the gospel and get saved. Don't leave this room today without knowing for sure that heaven will be your home. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go back to verse number 1. We're not done with it yet. Amen? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Number 2 within my notes, Peter reached out to the people of God. The Bible says that he reached out to those people from Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia who were called strangers. Amen. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 11. I think that's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. I think I got the wrong verse written down. Nope. Yes, this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Not only are we called strangers, but we are called pilgrims. That word pilgrim means this, standing beside the people. These people were scattered abroad because they were persecuted, because they were letting their light shine, starting churches. I think it's important to know today, now stay with me here, that God cares as much about strangers as he does anyone else. Amen. And you say, Brother Al, what do you mean? You and I, we've never met before, have we? Not that I know of. I have no clue who you are. In God's eyes, he and I are the same.
Amen.
You say, but you're preaching the gospel. But he's in church.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? There's not one person in this room who is any higher in God's eyes than the next. We're all on equal ground.
Amen.
All of us, according to God, brother, have the same responsibility to let our light shine for Jesus.
Amen.
And God blesses the one who turns their light switch on. Amen? Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. My mind's floating on me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? When I think about letting my light shine for Jesus Christ, it teaches me that I got to be different than the world.
Amen.
Amen? I cannot live like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, and do the things that the world does, and have a lost person look at me and say, that's what I want, because they already have it.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that I got to be snotty about it. There's many snotty Christians. There's Christians who they might see somebody who is drinking and give them a hard time. They might see somebody that's doing some things in the world and give them a hard time. Let me tell you something. If somebody walks down this aisle and they get saved and they've been doing the things of the world, we should rejoice.
Amen.
If a Christian who was once saved went back to the world and came to church this morning, in most church houses, people go, and that person would feel so uncomfortable that did not the Holy Spirit of God lead them back into the house of God?
Amen.
When they lead them into the house of God, shouldn't we say, hey, brother, how you doing? Sure is good to see you today, man. I've missed you. I'm glad you're here. And then, Brother Brian, I've been praying for you, brother. Every day I'm praying for you. Let's say that fellow comes to the church and he hears the message. And he's sitting here and the Holy Spirit of God's getting all over him. And then the invitation starts. And he walks forward and he gets down and he kneels down and he prays. He says, God, I walked the wrong path. God, I've done some bad things. Lord, I know you're my Savior, and God, will you forgive me? There should be some holy rejoicing taking place at that
Amen.
Moment.
Amen.
Because he is no different than me. Do you know that I am one step away from doing that again?
That's right.
And so are you.
That's right.
You say, not me. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Satan can trick you and take you back in the world faster than lickety-split, and before you know it, you're doing the things that you did before, and you're wanting to come to church, but you feel all oddball and like, oh, I can't do that. And then you get into church, and those who are holier than thou, they start to... It shouldn't be. Al Price loved you, but God loves you more.
Amen.
And if God has a heart to forgive one who falls upon their faith and begs, face and begs for forgiveness of sin, who am I to hold on to it? Amen? Separation should help us walk closer to God.
Amen.
Separation does not mean a bigot attitude. It means loving people where they are and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 2. Are we learning this morning?
Amen.
Verse number 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Number 3 within your notes. Peter found the power plug. Remember me putting that battery in here? Amen? Remember? Peter walked about the earth, unlikely candidate to be saved. Ornery as ornery can be, a fisherman up on a boat doing everything that you can imagine a fisherman doing. And Andrew came to him and offered him God. Peter got down upon his face and begged God to save his soul. I put a battery in here, but the Holy Spirit came to dwell within.
Amen.
Amen. When the Holy Spirit came to dwell within, we who were once dead were made alive in Christ. Okay? Now, here we're getting to it right now, okay? I'm getting ready to close. Are you saved this morning?
Amen.
Okay, now watch. Simple Kentucky hillbilly teaching. When you got saved, God came in. When God came in, He made you alive. Now, here's the question. Have you turned on the switch?
That's good, brother.
Because you're going to heaven. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But this flashlight does absolutely, positively no good until I turn the switch on. And as a child of God, who has found the power of God through the knowledge of God, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus Christ, has been made alive.
Amen.
But yet, I am a worthless Christian until I turn on the light.
Oh, that's good, brother. Amen. Good.
My Christian friend this morning, can I ask you, would you be willing to come to the altar this morning and say, God, I'm not saying anybody's a bad Christian, okay? Because we're all the same. Remember, brother? We're the same. And I know that my light needs to be turned on. And I said it earlier, there's sometimes God asks me something to do something, and I say, nope. Then something easy, and I say, okay. Then God asks me to do something else, and I say, nope. If God asks me to do it, does He not enable those who He has called?
Yeah.
Is that not what He told Timothy?
Amen.
If God's asking you to do something, be willing to turn the light on. Amen. I'll close with this story. When I was in Bible college, I was managing a plant that had over 10,000 people within it, over $600 billion worth of assets. I was going to college full-time, serving in the military full-time. I didn't have time to breathe. And I had a supervisor, a civilian supervisor, that was just riding me like a horse. In fact, I felt like his saddle. And after about 6 months, he came into my office. He closed the door, and he says, Chief, he said, I was watching a baseball game the other day, and somebody held up a sign that says John 3:16. Chief, what does that mean? I have no clue. And I said, sir, you don't know, his name was Terry Shea. I said, Terry, you don't know what John 3:16 is? He said, I've never heard about it in my life. Stay with me now. Evidently, underneath the pressure, although I thought I was failing God, my light was on and I didn't know it. That guy aggravated the fire out of me. He rode me like a horse. But when he saw John 3:16, he knew where he could come to find out about the Bible.
Amen.
And sitting there within my office with the door, I took him to John 3:16 and I showed him what John 3:16 said and I explained it to him. Before no long, old Terry Shea bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior.
Praise the Lord.
Is your light on?
Good.
Do you turn it off or do you leave it on? When it gets weak, do you go back to God's Word and get re-energized? I have to go to God's Word every single morning. Sometimes during midday and sometimes in the afternoon because I'm flesh and I fail God over and 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 over again. Because I'm no different than any other Christian. Am I right? But God indwells me. He never leaves me, nor does He forsake me.
Amen.
And He empowers me. He's made me alive in Jesus Christ. And all He has asked is to turn my light on. He said, I've already given you the Holy Spirit, but Al, will you turn your light on? If you're saved this morning, God's already given you everything you need, but will you turn your light on? God's not going to make you do it. It's your choice. You're going to heaven, amen. But will you turn your light on? Maybe there's a Terry Shea that will walk and knock on your door and say, hey, what does John 3:16 say? And God will use you when you least expect it to lead some lost soul to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the reading and the teaching of Your Word this morning. And God, I do pray that the altars would be filled this morning with Christians, young and old, saying, Lord, let me turn my light on for You and leave it on. Let me come to You, Lord, and be recharged when I'm weak. But God, I also pray this morning if there's one here that's lost and needs Jesus, that they would come and bow down and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed.